Talk, talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to the Photo Gurus with Sally Wiener Grotta and Daniel Grotta, Shutterbug radio host Jack Warren.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jack, the voice of photographers. It's my pleasure to introduce to you Sally and Daniel. Hi,
hey,
guys.
Hey, Jack. How you doing?
I'm doing great. You guys have any industry news?
Well, yes. We had a very interesting briefing from a company called Prismastar. You know how frustrating it can be to zeroing in on the right camera for your needs, your interests, your budget, and such. They have a new online search engine called Mology, M-O-L-O-G-Y, that goes quickly through all kinds of parameters such as color, speed, zoom, type memory card, just about any feature or function. You can limit your search to cover only those things that matter to you personally, and you can prioritize, give weight to those things that really are important to you and take away weight on those things that aren't.
Now, Mology is brand new, so, and it's just getting up and running. They're trying to sell it to various websites here in the country. I think Amazon is one of their first customers. In the meanwhile, there's a demo about running a very good camera database. It's at www.mology, that's M-O-L-O-G-Y.com, and it works very well. We're rather impressed at how much simpler and more precise it is than other camera engines, search engines are. But the one problem is it's not complete, but you can add fields to it yourself. If you're searching for something and you don't see it there, you can put in a note that says, I want this, and they may add that feature to it.
On a very different note, you know, Jack, out here in the mountains, we have an incredible view of the Milky Way. When you read about the various comets that you can't see in the city, we eyeball them from our field. But I've never tried to photograph any of it, except the moon, of course.
Yeah, well, we don't have a telescope.
Well, yeah.
Yet.
Not yet. That's on our wish list. But the problem with photography is there's just not enough light from the stars, the comets, the planets. And that means if I wanted to photograph it, I'd have to use a very long time exposure.
And as you know, the longer the time exposure you have, the more noise it produces.
Poor image quality all around. You can keep your lens wide open, and then you get all kinds of light, so you don't get any dark. It just doesn't work. Now, Imaging Sources announced some new digital cameras. We haven't tested them, but they sound really neat. They're for amateur astronomy buffs. Daniel, you have the details on them, right?
Yeah. First of all, the cameras are only for telescopes. You can't use them for shooting the kids in the park. They're small, lightweight, box-sized and shaped devices that you put into a telescope standard C-thread, C-mount thread. And the devices are built around low-noise Sony CCD image sensors, and they allow long exposures, up to 60 minutes.
Wow.
Or very short sequential bursts, as fast as 60 frames per second. The software controls all the parameters, such as exposure time, sensitivity, and frame rate. And depending upon the model and their price between $350 and $850, it records either color or monochrome. It features either a USB or a FireWire interface, and it's available in a variety of resolutions. You can get further information about Imaging Sources cameras at www.astronomycameras.com.
So if I get you one of these cameras, you'll get me a telescope, Daniel?
Well, dream on, Macduff.
Well, it's time for some audience questions. Before we take them, I just want to remind you, email us anytime at photogurus@digitalbenchmarks.com or call us during the live show at 877-474-3302. Jack, what's our first question?
Well, Gail, a freelance journalist from Delaware, asks, I shoot real estate, so I need a wide angle and a good flash. I don't have time to do the shoots, so I need to be able to shoot fast. And I don't want to carry a tripod and lights, but I might have to go that route. I currently use an old Canon PowerShot G2 with added wide angle and an external flash. It's really more bulky than I want to carry. It slows me down to add the wide angle, and it's past time for an upgrade. I like the camera to do double duty for travel photography. I don't want and don't see a need to carry a lot of camera equipment. It's just me, which means I have to carry my camera, my bag, my personal stuff, my notepad, everything else. I begin to feel like a Sherpa pretty quick.
I know what you mean, Gail, about feeling like a Sherpa. What you need for effective real estate photography is a digital camera that comes with a built-in ultra-wide lens. That's so you won't have to attach a heavy auxiliary lens. Your Canon PowerShot G2 was a great camera in its time. It has a range equivalent of, I believe it's 34 millimeter to about 100 millimeter, which translates to about 64 degrees of coverage when you're looking at the scene. Cameras with 28 millimeter lenses give you about 75 degrees of coverage. But for real estate, you want to get even wider, down to 24 millimeter, which gives about 84 degrees of coverage.
Now, there are basically three manufacturers that make 24 millimeter ultra-wide lenses, and they're Ricoh, Samsung, and Panasonic.
We're talking now about cameras that have the lens attached. We're not talking about DSLRs at all.
They're not cheap. The Samsung NV24 goes for about $350. The Panasonic Lumix DMC LX3 sells for about $500. And the Ricoh Caplio GX100 and 200 are $600 and $750 respectively. But they're a lot thinner and lighter than your G2, and they don't require auxiliary lenses. The Samsung is the easiest one to use. It's basically a point-and-shoot model, while the Panasonic comes with a fast F2 lens, which may allow you to take interior shots without even needing a flash. Incidentally, all three cameras do have a built-in flash, but if you want to add an auxiliary flash, the Panasonic and Ricohs can accommodate them. The Panasonic and Ricoh cameras are good for a couple other reasons. They both will shoot in the RAW file format for better image quality, and also, the Samsung and the Panasonic will also take HDTV videos.
I got to laugh, Daniel. You're calling those expensive. At the time when Gail bought her G2,
it was about $1,000.
Yeah, right. So everything's relative. What's the next question, Jack?
Hey, guys, do you remember Jenna from Atlanta? You know, she had that question about the great panorama camera and asked your advice about scanners.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, you have another email from her. She says, thanks for your advice. I'm taking it, and I'm looking to sell my play scanners and move up to the big leagues. I now have another question for you. I'm looking for an external storage system where I can store my images securely, access and save image files to them remotely through an internet connection with either a Mac or a PC, perform periodic backups, and have some form of redundancy in case a hard drive fails.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm considering a RAID system in the 1 terabyte range, but what I've read on the subject of RAID systems is a little confusing. Can you clarify my RAID options and suggest what type of system will meet my needs? I travel a lot with my laptop and would like to have it loaded down with images, but I like to be able to pull up images on a remote drive if a request is made while I'm away from home. I guess the only other thing a system like that could do is walk the dog and do the dishes.
If you find something like that, I need to know. The question Jenna asked, Daniel, I want to handle this. It's incredibly important and can be incredibly confusing. One of the biggest problems people have about developing a backup strategy is the fog of phrases and systems that seem to melt into each other. The first thing Jenna needs to realize is that she's talking about different issues and potentially different solutions when she's looking for a recoverable backup and remote access and archiving and redundancy. A RAID system just won't cover all those needs, but then I don't think any single system will do it all for her.
Now, before you go any further, Sally, perhaps we should clear up some of this confusion about RAID.
Yeah.
RAID is an acronym for Redundant Array of Inexpensive Drives, and there are different variations, but the most commonly used is RAID 1. It's also RAID 0, 0, 0, RAID 2, RAID 5, and they have to do with what the two drives do with each other. But RAID 1 basically is a mirror system. It's two identical hard drives. Whatever's on one is on the other. So if one goes down, you don't lose your data.
Well, that's all well and good, Daniel, but functionally, RAID just never has worked out for me. If I work on a file, save it, then continue working on it, save it again, and somewhere in the process, an error creeps in the file, which happens from time to time, like often, I can eventually compound any problem I may have had. So what good does RAID do me when the two drives simply mirror each other? You know what happens with mirrors. They just keep reflecting back and forth. And the same thing happens with hard drives.
Well, that's true, but RAID is useful for catastrophic hard drive failure. It's not meant for backup or remote access. If one of your hard drives crashes, the other one will instantly and automatically take over. It's almost as though nothing happened, so you can keep working without any interruption or loss of data. But RAID just isn't practical as a backup system, and it won't do remote access.
Well, I don't like RAID, if you haven't guessed that. But for Jenna's remote backup of her images that she can access over the Internet wherever she is, which seems to be one of her more important questions, there are various online services, such as Photo Shelter, which a lot of pros use, or Sharpcast. They may do the job, they may not. As a rule, pick your service based on the amount of storage you require and how you need to access it. Now, online storage services are great for remote access, so long as you're traveling somewhere you can get a fast...
Hold on, Sally. Hold that thought. We're going to come back with more from the Photo Gurus, and we're going to hear their tip of the month on Photo Gurus Radio, WSRadio.com.
We have all lost a close relative or friend, a mother or father, grandparent or good friend that made a difference in our lives. As painful as it is to lose a loved one, it can also be a time to celebrate a life. To remember and honor them, we would like to introduce a new concept called In Loving Memory Radio, an hour-long internet radio show allowing family and friends to call in from around the world. During the live broadcast, they can share stories and memories for the world to hear. The show streams live on WS Radio and is archived for listening on demand 24/7. It includes audio CDs to be cherished forever. Sometimes it's not possible for everyone to attend a funeral or memorial. In Loving Memory Radio allows family and friends to participate. It also creates a lasting legacy for future generations to appreciate. Learn more by logging on to InLovingMemoryRadio.com. That's InLovingMemoryRadio.com.
The team at eBay Radio focuses on helping you make the most of your sales on eBay. In fact, that's what the show is all about. We sell on eBay ourselves, so we understand your interest level in seeking out the very best and latest information to help you sell on eBay. To that end, we have recently brought together 10 of the top sellers on eBay. We ask each of them to give us 5 of their best-selling tips based on their years of experience. We're pleased to announce that all 50 tips are now available to listen to for free and on demand 24/7. At 50sellingtips.com. That's 50sellingtips.com. We wanted to learn from the best, and these experts collectively have over 100 years of selling experience on eBay. It's a gift from our eBay Radio team to you, and it's free for the listening. So take your eBay selling to the next level. Learn from the experts who've been there, done that. 50sellingtips.com.
We are AbundantEarthOnly.com, a website offering thousands of natural, organic, health and wellness-oriented products. Our unique selection of environmentally sensitive and earth-friendly products are for those who wish to make a difference in the world. And because we believe in the universal oneness, we donate a portion of our profits toward worthy causes. We know you'll like our growing list of thousands of the finest earth-friendly products available. We also insist that you are fully satisfied with the quality of all your product purchases. If for any reason you are unsatisfied, simply return the new and unused product within 30 days of purchase for a full refund or credit, whichever you prefer. That's AbundantEarthOnly.com. AbundantEarthOnly.com. Changing the galaxy one planet at a time.
Talk, talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to the Photo Gurus with Sally Wiener Grotta and Daniel Grotta, Shutterbug radio host Jack Warren.
Hi, and welcome back. We're speaking with Sally and Daniel, the Photo Gurus, and it's time for your tip of the month, guys.
Okay.
Well, if you're like us, you always carry around a few spare memory cards. And the problem is, when you filled up a card and it's time to swap it out with another, how can you tell at a glance which cards are filled and which ones are empty?
Jay Mizell, the famous street photographer, taught us a remarkably simple solution a few years ago. Keep your memory cards in the clear plastic holders they came in. Then put a small colored dot, you know, those little stickers you can get just about anywhere, on one side of the holder. Then when you put your empty card in, put it in so the sticker covers the back of the card. When the card is full, put it back into the holder so that the sticker covers the front.
Then at a glance, you can immediately tell which is which. That's because on the front of the card, it shows the capacity size, such as 8 or 16 gigabytes. If you can't read how large the card is because the sticker is over that information, then the card is full.
By the way, Jack, remember last show we asked the audience what easy-to-use software they like for creating DVD portfolios?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got a remarkable number of email replies. It was great fun. Thanks, everybody, for your emails. The most popular programs appear to be Adobe Lightroom, Roxio Easia Media Creator, Nero, Pro Show Gold from Photodex, ULEED Picture Show, and Photo Magica. We're going to be testing some of them in our Digital Benchmarks lab, and we'll let you know which ones we like best on a future show.
Now, this month's question is, why are you looking to buy a new digital camera? In other words, what is it about your current camera that you don't like, or what are you looking for in the new one? Please let us know. You can drop us an email at photogurus@digitalbenchmarks.com.
And, of course, please send your questions about photography, imaging, scanning, printing, the meaning of life at photogurus@digitalbenchmarks.com. We were talking before our break about backups, which is a major, major point. And Jenna was talking, our listener Jenna had asked about remote access. There are two negatives to remote access that I have personally. One is that my image library is too precious for me to trust its survival to some commercial enterprise that may or may not still be in business a year or two from now.
Now, you're talking about online storage, right?
Yeah. And the other major negative is Jenna was talking about a terabyte of data, and plus we know from her previous question that she creates these enormous panorama files. Do you realize how much that would cost and how long it would take to upload or download from a remote service? However, remote access could possibly work for Jenna for a few hundred of her images, perhaps those that are most current and likely to be requested. Now, this backup issue is big. Because there we've taken almost care of her remote access, but we still haven't talked about how to protect her images.
Why don't we do that next show?
Okay, that's a good idea. There's so much. But Jenna, don't go raid. I don't like it. It isn't going to give you what you need. Jack, what's our next question?
Okay, I was just going to say, so many backups, so little time.
You should see our network. How many terabytes of hard drives do we have here?
We have somewhere between 6 or 7. It's hard to count them because we have over a dozen external USB and FireWire drives attached to the network on various PCs.
And we keep swapping them out, and I take some to my parents just to keep them away from here in case anything happens, you know, for redundancy. Big, big issue. I don't think anybody's really solved backup properly yet.
Well, you know, YouTube is very big these days, and Brad from Seattle asks, what are some good cameras to use for shooting YouTube videos?
Well, Brad, just about any digital camera that can capture video at 320 by 240 resolution will do. And quite frankly, that's most of the cameras out there today. But if you're a hardcore YouTube aficionado and you want a camera with a specific YouTube setting, check out three Casio models. The $139 EX-Z77, the $160 ZX-1080, and the $180 EX-880. They're essentially the same camera, but the resolutions vary. All three are small, slim puppies that have a specific YouTube setting that automatically selects the best size, resolution, and frame rate for YouTube viewing. What's more, all three cameras come with special software that makes it very simple to upload your video clips.
Brad's question actually reminds me of another email that I got this morning that I didn't have a chance to forward to you, Jack. That was someone who just wants to use a small camcorder, one of the tiny little poor quality camcorders, to do videos of her trip that she's taking. And she already has a camera. She was thinking of perhaps posting them to the web. If you already have a still camera and all you're looking for is low-resolution video for the web, look carefully at your digital camera's capabilities. It probably has what you want, unless you're looking for production broadcast quality. And then there's real estate cameras that you were talking about. A couple of them had HDTV resolution.
Well, that's the upper end. If you want to show them on your brand-new 50-inch plasma screen.
Yeah. Jack, do we have time for another question?
Yes, Sally, I've heard that you say that zoom lenses are much more than a tool for getting closer to your subject or to capture a wider vista. Can you expand on that?
Sure. You know, that's true of all lenses, fixed, focal length, or zoom. Most people use their zoom just, the big difference between amateur and professional photographers is the professional goes after and moves around, and the amateur lets the zoom do the work for them to go closer or further from the subject. But when they do that, they're missing out on the really creative aspect of choosing the right lens for their composition. It has to do with picture perspective and the relationship of objects in your picture. Let me expand on that a little bit further. If you use a telephoto lens to take a picture, say, of a person in a large garden, the person, the flowers, and the trees will all end up taking about the same amount of space in the picture and therefore will have the same value in the composition. There is no central concept, which can be very attractive if that's your choice.
Well, just to give you an analogy, if you put a pair of binoculars to your eyes and you look at a race, it looks like all the horses are stacked together, one on top of the other. That's because the foreground and the background compress the image together.
Right. But if you move really close to that person in the garden and use a wide-angle lens, the person will be much bigger proportionately and take up a greater weight in the composition. The exercise that to show it to yourself is take a series of pictures of the same scene and try to keep the main subject at approximately the same size within your viewfinder by moving closer or further away from that subject while varying your focal length. You'll quickly see how very different the relationships of objects in the foreground, midground, and background are, and that creates a amazingly different creative statement, changing the weight of these various objects. If you want to see an example of this, I did a series of photographs of a tractor that was about 20 feet in front of a treehouse that was looming above it. And that series is in our book, PC Magazine Digital SLR Photography Solutions.
Which is available in your favorite bookstore online anyway.
I didn't worry, I mentioned it, but okay. Remember, please send your questions on anything to do with photography or imaging to photogurus@digitalbenchmarks.com. Are we too close to the end, or do we have time for another audience question, Jack?
I think we're just about done, Sally. But I also want to – you should mention your websites.
Yes. Well, we have a couple websites. Our Digital Benchmarks Lab is Digital Benchmarks. It's with an S. digitalbenchmarks.com, www.digitalbenchmarks.com. And you can also sign up there for a newsletter about the Photo Gurus.
Fantastic. We'll see you guys next week.
Looking forward to it. Thanks,
well, thank
Jack.
You, Jack.
All right. You're listening to the Photo Gurus on the WS Radio Network, the worldwide leader in Internet talk.
To be successful selling on eBay or anywhere online, you must find the products at wholesale prices through dependable suppliers. You need OneStopProductSourcing.com. Created by the product sourcing editor for eBay Radio, worldwide brand CEO Chris Malta, OneStopProductSourcing.com is complete with the tools and information you need. You'll save time because Worldwide Brands checks out thousands of wholesalers willing to work with eBay and online sellers. This new site offers an online directory for millions of products from dependable wholesalers. From drop shippers to light bulk wholesalers, the directory is constantly updated. OneStopProductSourcing.com is the world's largest database for e-commerce wholesalers. Check out the free preview at OneStopProductSourcing.com. That's OneStopProductSourcing.com. They've already done the work for you.
Well, the war is over, and just as I thought, Blu-ray is the winner. So what does that mean to you? Well, it means high-quality audio and video for your computer and your big-screen TV. Thanks to a new partnership between Philips and Lighton, or PLDS as I like to call them, because the world doesn't have enough acronyms, gives them access to hundreds of Blu-ray patents. Lighton has a long reputation for high-quality optical drives. PLDS products offer the highest quality at the most affordable prices. Blu-ray products are designed to give users the flexibility to burn Blu-ray discs and watch Blu-ray movies directly from your PC. PLDS has a great lineup of Blu-ray products to satisfy most consumer needs, including a new 4x BD internal writer and an internal and external BD ROM for easy playback of your favorite movies. To learn more about Philips and Lighton Digital Solutions and the new Blu-ray disc format, visit them at www.lightonamericas.com.
Does your business use the U.S. Postal Service? If you answered yes, whether you send mail or ship parcels, at Indicia, we can make it easy and quick to mail stuff right from your computer. Besides the obvious time saver, our software may help your bottom line. You see, the post office now offers discounts on online postage for priority and express mail. Indicia helps you take advantage of those discounts. Other benefits include money savings on online discounts for delivery and signature confirmation and integrated parcel insurance. It's all so simple. Indicia software is integrated into over 60 partner applications, so you can probably use Indicia right through your existing store or shopping cart management system. And forget about handwritten labels. With Indicia, you can easily use your own logos and artwork for a more professional look. It's cool. Indicia.com. Just when you thought life was getting too complicated, along comes Indicia. That's E-N-D-I-C-I-A.com.